Hi, I'm Sean Owen and I'm here today with Emily Conradi and Sheetal Kavya at the e-learning unit at St George's University in London. Emily is the manager for learning innovation and Sheetal is the e-project technologist, both within the e-learning unit, and both work on various e-learning projects within the university. Emily, can you tell me a bit about what you're up to at the moment and what you've been doing this year?
Sure. Well, most of what we work on is virtual patients here. We began by running a lot of workshops and courses for staff here to develop different virtual patients, and from that we started to look at different ways to develop virtual patients in the curricula, including for problem-based learning and for assessment and self-directed learning. And from that we began a project called Preview, which is about delivering problem-based learning in virtual worlds. For this project we focused on the virtual world Second Life. And that was really to help students. They were paramedic students and they were all distance learners, and we didn't want to have to lose the problem-based learning element from their course. So what we did is we looked at delivering virtual patients for them in Second Life to enable them to use that as problem-based learning scenarios. That was a JISC-funded project that we ran with Coventry University.
Right.
And that project's finished now. But we're hoping to continue making problem-based learning scenarios from that in virtual worlds.
And Sheetal, you were charged with the challenge of creating the environments for the scenarios. So you created the look and feel of the...
Basically, it's an island in Second Life that we got from... It's called St George's Island. And I started off in there and just tried to create a little landmark of the hospital, tried to recreate the hospital. But it was such a big task, I just ended up just making the shell. And then just making loads of street scenes. Once the scenarios were written for Preview, I could create like street scenes and the benefits office and the underground, which is all places that we've got a scenario placed. So yeah, it was basically to make everything look nice and make it look a bit realistic rather than a bit, you know, just they're in the website or something like that. So... yeah, that was one of my main focuses, and also getting to know how to use Second Life and trying to get the team to get into it as well. So that was one of the main things that I did at the beginning of the project. As the project went on, we did various trials once the scenarios were built with students, and we did, I think it was 2-day trials. With students in the paramedic course, and they ran through the scenarios and we got their feedback from it, so that was interesting.
And do you feel that creating scenarios and using virtual patients in virtual reality is a benefit to medical students and healthcare students?
Definitely. First of all, they're really easy to create for Second Life now that Sheetal's made all the environment and the objects for them, because what we do is we just use sort of process that we use for making web-based virtual patients, because the MVP player in Second Life adheres to all the right standards, all the Medvictus standards, so it's really easy to transfer between players. So something that we create can be used either in our web-based player or in our Second Life player.
When you say player, you mean a program that runs a virtual patient? So
that's right, yeah. So, for example, here we might use Labyrinth to do it as a web-based player. And in Second Life, we just call it MVP player. It's basically a sort of mock-up of a screen that will show the students all the data in the same way as the website does.
Can I ask you finally about the Medvictus standards, which you mentioned earlier? Because does this mean that virtual patients in Second Life can also be used in different players using these standards?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the scenarios within Second Life are actually played on the web, and it's only Second Life really only acts as a front end for that. So all the information, all the data is actually stored on the web in XML files. Basically, we wanted to rely on Second Life as little as possible because, you know, it's a third-party software, and, you know, we didn't want to have to rely on it totally and just in case whatever happens to it. So, it's all developed on the web, and because of the way that the files do adhere to the standard, it means that they can be played in any player that also adheres to the standard.
It's interesting. And so where do you see e-learning going? It does seem to be very futuristic. You know, a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have dreamt of having a virtual reality patient scenario. Where do you think it'll end up eventually?
Yeah, I think it's definitely all going down that route. I can see everything being delivered in virtual hours in a year's time. I think people are just going to get more and more comfortable learning online, and interactive content, I think, is going to become the norm. People will be just much more used to it.
Already in Second Life, like just doing a bit of research ourselves, there's loads of people that are using Second Life to deliver education. Like there's the Genome Island, and which has got really nice features in it as well. I think it's going to be up there. But I wouldn't just say just Second Life. I'd say virtual worlds in general, because a lot of them are developing. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.